From the Warriors, Giants, A's, Sharks, and Raiders, this is Tim Roy, the voice of your seven-time NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. If it's Bay Area action you seek, we're talking about it. From the South Bay to the North Bay and everywhere in between, we have you covered. Now, get ready for Bay Area Sports Wrap with Lowell Tuckerman, Marco Akalovich, and Ryan Leon.
All right, welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap here alongside Ryan Leon. I am Marco Lukalovich, and what a wild, wild card weekend we had this past weekend. We had some crazy finishes in Jacksonville and Cincinnati. We had the 49ers and the Cowboys taking care of business in their games. And we got a lot to discuss on this show, including a recap of wild card weekend, as well as some coaching maneuvering shakeups going down in Tampa, and also previewing the 49ers Cowboys divisional game on Sunday at 3:30 from Levi Stadium. And once again, joining us back on the show is Ruth the Truth Kakias. You can listen to her Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time on AM 1150 WTMP. And Ruth, it's good to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. After Monday night's game, I've been in high spirits all week. Crazy news that we heard about the Bucks this morning, and we'll get into that. But really excited for Sunday's matchup. I wish I was joining you guys back at Levi Stadium. I will be there in spirit for sure. But thanks for having me back on.
Awesome. Well, of course, we always love having you. We loved having you on the first time. Now we like having you back on again, because everything's relevant with the football going on in the NFL. Again, we got the Niners playing the Cowboys upcoming up. But, you know, you got to first start off with that crazy finish in Jacksonville. You had the LA Chargers up 27-0 in this game. They go and blow in the entire second half. They allow Jacksonville to come back and get the game-winning field goal with, you know, 3 seconds remaining in the game. And it was just one of those games where, you know, I've talked to Chargers fans who are like, oh, we expected this. We figured they were going to blow it. But I don't know. That was just a weird game. And when a total tale of two halves, where you had Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence just be completely awful, and then they come out looking like Super Bowl champs in that second half. It's crazy.
Yeah, while watching that game, watching that first half and seeing Trevor Lawrence struggle the way that he did, I was very surprised. But I knew that this was his first playoff game. He's kind of getting his feet wet, and that's kind of a scenario. But I had a feeling that Doug Peterson was going to be able to orchestrate a game plan during the half to have them come out explosive in that third quarter. And that's exactly what happened. We saw the Chargers get a little bit too comfortable with that 27-0 lead. And I just knew that it wasn't going to last. So Trevor Lawrence really showed out on why he is the number one pick and why he's going to be the franchise quarterback for the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think he solidified his franchise quarterback for Jacksonville, and him and Doug Peterson, just they work really well together. And, Super Bowl caliber coach mixed in with a number one draft pick. It's a great look for Jacksonville. But I don't know if I'm more impressed with Trevor Lawrence and his comeback, or am I more disappointed in the Chargers and how they just kind of imploded in that second half? What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of the Chargers' MO. I mean, they've been that kind of a team. I mean, they've never won anything. We'll talk about the Minnesota Vikings, but they've never done anything either. So, and you mentioned Trevor Lawrence. I had a chance to cover that national title game that was held in Santa Clara, or wherever the heck we are in California, as the Clemson head coach said at the time, which is pretty funny. In the post-trophy celebration, I had a chance to be on the field for that. So that was pretty funny. But definitely well-earned that he is the top pick of his draft that year. And we saw him lead as you mentioned, that Jacksonville win. I mean, it was impressive to watch. In fact, Marco and I were kind of hanging out in the Niners press box, watching it on the big screens. They have two big screens at Levi Stadium, as you know, Ruth, you've been there. And we're watching Saturday night game, rather, because it was the playoffs. But it was fun watching the scoreboard. And as we kept watching and seeing the game get closer, we're like, Chargers are going to blow this game. And they sure did.
Yeah, again, I was blown away by that. But, you know, speaking of the game we were both at, Ryan, you know, we saw the 49ers Struggled a little bit in that first half against Seattle, but then, you know, the defense took over in the second half, and then allowed the offense to kind of, you know, score some points to where they were able to put the game away and really end up with a cruising victory against the Seattle Seahawks. And I think that, you know, with the way this defense responded after, you know, kind of struggling in the beginning, just goes to show you the resiliency that this team has. And, you know, legend of Brock Purdy, I swear this kid, it just keeps growing bigger and bigger every game he's playing, every time he steps up onto the field. So I just like the way the 49ers are playing right now.
I bet you do, Marco. I think you spent too much time at the AVN convention in Vegas. But anyway.
Which you have nothing to do with what we're talking about, but okay.
It's absolutely impressive what this young talent, Mr. Irrelevant, has made himself relevant in the NFL. And I know that we talked about it in the last show. What are you guys going to do with Trey Lance now? Like, are we going to move on? Are we going to stick with Brock Purdy? Are we going to, you know, when Trey Lance comes back from rehab and the surgery that he had during the season, I feel like you guys are in a huge pickle when it comes to that. But Purdy has definitely proved that he belongs in that position. Everybody seems to really be buying into him. George Kittle can't talk enough about him. But I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about Sunday's matchup with the Dallas Cowboys coming to Santa Clara.
Second and 10, Prescott projected, end zone, caught, touchdown, Dalton Schultz.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Nervous in what way? Nervous that the Niners are going to actually hold them down, or?
Nervous that the Dallas Cowboys are going to get in their own way. The 49ers are a great team all the way around, from special teams to run game to their protection of Brock Purdy. All of it is impressive, but I know Dallas has the talent to really get it done. But are we going to have our kicker decide he wants to make a few extra points to it's going to come down to a really close game, and it's Brandon Marhar cannot have a game like he did here in Tampa Bay, missing four extra points that really could have, I guess, solidified his future in Dallas. So now that's kind of in limbo, but I mean, I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about that run game, because CMC and Deebo Samuel, like, that's a 1-2 punch right there. And Christian McCaffrey has been playing outstanding. So I know they're just they're coming off of that great win against Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks. And that momentum is just going to continue to roll.
They'll let him throw again. Wide open Deebo Samuel. Got a block from George Kittle. Deebo Samuel. There he goes. Foot on the gas. All the way. Touchdown, San Francisco, a 74-yarder.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Niner gang. One thing you mentioned about the Trey Lance situation, it's funny. He, you know, sent out what they are calling a cryptic tweet when the announcement of Rand Carthen got hired as the new general manager for the Tennessee Titans. And some are speculating, like people like to do, that this tweet meant like, hey, I'll come over there and be your quarterback next, right? If they decide the Niners want to have Brock Purdy be their starting quarterback. But I don't think that's got to happen. I think that was just like, hey, you know, congratulations and good, wishing you good luck in the future there. And I think Trey Lance, no matter what, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback.
How, Marco? How? They won 11 straight. They're going into their second round of the playoffs. How would they be able to turn the page and go back to Trey Lance? I mean, if we talk about what we saw in the beginning of the regular season, it wasn't explosive. It wasn't impressive. It seemed like he still had a lot to learn. I mean, they went back and grabbed Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, it's just – I don't see how they could take step backwards for Trey Lance. I mean, young guy, he has a lot to learn. I mean, who knows how he's going to come back after such a pretty serious injury. So I think it would be a slap in the face if they were to say, Brock, thanks. You've done great things for us, but we're going to need you to take that second seat. I don't see it happening.
I just think they invested too much into getting this kid to come be their starting quarterback. And I don't think they're going to let an injury, but you can't let an injury say that, hey, you know, you lost your position because of that. I mean, I know we've seen that in the past happen, AKA Tom Brady, but you know, I think with Trey Lance, you can't just give up on him after what, 2 years. I mean, all the draft picks you got rid of to get to trade up to get him at number three. I just think that he's going to be given the chance to win the quarterback position. Now, whether he takes a hold of that opportunity in training camp next year or this coming season, we'll see. But I still think he's going to be counted on to be the number one starter. That's just my opinion.
I don't think so either. I agree with Ruth. I think it's Brock Purdy's job to lose, though. I mean, he'll be the starter coming out of training camp. But yeah, Trey will compete for it, sure. But I'm hearing rumors now they may want to try to trade Trey Lance and somehow maybe get Tom Brady to be the backup for Brock Purdy.
Oh gosh, what?
Yeah, I heard that through our local CBS affiliate. That's what they were saying.
Yeah, I was hearing a little bit of that here in Tampa as well, that if he was going to make a move and decide not to retire after hitting free agency from Tampa, that, you know, the 49ers was going to be a destination. And I cannot blame him. He's from that area. His parents are getting up there in age. But I wouldn't understand why Brady would want to be on the opposite side of the United States from his children. He has a kid, Jack, in New York with his ex-girlfriend, and now Giselle's living in Miami with his other two kids. So I know that he's a big on family. He's big about his kids. They're getting older. So I think it would have to be a hefty deal for him to make that decision to, and then for Brady to go and be a backup, that doesn't really sound like his cup of tea. I mean,
but he's 45 years old. I mean, come on. I mean, how much longer is this guy going to go? I mean, you know, George Blanda played that late for the Raiders, but he was a kicker at that point, wasn't he, Marco?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he's a 48-year-old kicker. No, I don't think Brady would actually mind being in that position. I really don't. I think if he could be on another winning team and he could impart some knowledge to a guy like Brock Purdy, who's kind of a, you know, sort of an unknown diamond in the rough. Tom Brady was kind of like that, although he played at Michigan. He played at a very prestigious, you know, football program, whereas Brock Purdy, although I was pretty good too, but not the same. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting offseason for what happens with Tom Brady. And, of course, everyone's going to be paying attention to it, you know, but we'll see what happens. But speaking of his, I guess, former team now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, they just had a big coaching shakeup. Eight of their coaches were fired. Majority of them were on the offensive side of the ball, including offensive coordinator, now the ex-offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. Ruth, you know, you're covering this team this year. Like, how do you explain Todd Bowles just getting rid of all of his coaches like that and cleaning house? It just doesn't seem to make sense.
I was surprised, to be honest. Four seasons as the offensive coordinator, you have an average of 28 points per game, even with Jameis Winston. Then in 2020, you get Tom Brady, you go to the Super Bowl. I thought he had a good enough resume for him to at least get one more shot. We talked to Todd Bowles on Tuesday after the Monday game, and we had our open locker room session with some of the players, and we talked about the return of Tom Brady, the return of Byron Leftwich, and everybody seemed really positive, especially when it came to Byron and his, you know, solidity in that group or in that organization. So I was really surprised to see Byron get let go. And then they let go the defensive line coach, Lori, which is one of the females that they had on their roster. They got rid of their wide receiver coach. They got rid of their quarterback coach. They're completely starting from the ground up. And Todd Bowles likes to say, it's not a rebuild, it's a reload. But when you get rid of six plus assistant coaches, as well as your offensive coach, it sounds like a rebuild, especially when it comes to the coaching staff. We're going to be looking at a whole new Tampa Bay Bucs team next year, and it's all going to start from the offensive coordinator and up. So I was surprised to see Byron go. Like I said, I thought what he did in the past was going to be enough to give him one more chance. I mean, you're playing with a 45-year-old quarterback that didn't really have as good of a season as he did the year prior, or, you know, the 2020 season when he won the Super Bowl. But it's just, I'm really sad to see Byron go, because that locker room is totally bought into him. But there has been rumors that Tom Brady was just unhappy with the sloppiness and the, I guess, inattentiveness from Byron in their offense. So I guess that was a little surprising. I don't know if they're just getting a little too like lax and, oh, we got Brady, he can handle it, like he can run the team. And I don't know. I don't really know what happened with them and how they kind of imploded on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, 12 attempts in the run game on that during that game against the Dallas Cowboys. That's just not their cup of tea. That's not their formula of how they won games in the past. So sad to see Byron go, but I'm pretty optimistic with how, well, who they're going to hire to fill in that position and what the future is going to look like for their offense.
Speaking of which, Ruth, did, when you watch that game against the Cowboys, did anything surprise you at all about how, you know, Brady had to throw the ball 66 times? I mean, that was like, he was like a pitcher that was throwing like 200 pitches out there, you know?
Yeah. I felt like they should have stuck with the run game a little better, and just kind of run Rashad White a little bit more, that rookie running back that they had. And he was really explosive throughout the season, kind of taking over for Leonard Fournette. For a 45-year-old quarterback, he shouldn't be throwing the ball 60 times. You just saw how deflated the offense, or how deflated the team got when Brady threw that interception in the red zone. At that point, Cowboys had only scored one touchdown without an extra point. So if they would have scored that touchdown and Ryan Succop would have put it up through the uprights, it would have been 6-7, and it would have gave him a little bit more momentum. So we just saw them completely deflate after that. Brady was just, he was playing kind of like how we saw all season. So it wasn't crazy surprising of how that game happened. Just wish they would have kept it a little more competitive, because towards the end, it just became really hard to watch, even as a Cowboys fan.
I noticed that too. I was going to say that, you know, watching the numbers here, the stats show that Tampa Bay only ran for 52 yards, whereas the Cowboys had 128 yards by comparison. And White only ran the ball 7 times. Fournette ran the ball 5 times. You got 12 rushing attempts total for the game.
Yeah, that was.
And then, and then again, watching Brady, I still can't get over it. 35 of 66. The record is 69, or 68 is the record, right? If he had 69, he would have set the record.
It was kind of mind-boggling, them not being able to run the ball, especially when, even when Dell scored the 3 touchdowns and missed the extra points, they were still in the game. You could still establish a running game at that point, but they decided not to do that. And maybe that was why, that's what cost Leftwich the offense coordinator position.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But, you know, I was going to hope that Brady could have gotten those 3 more pass attempts. Then we could have played that famous line from Bill and Ted, right?
Yeah.
69 dudes.
That wasn't a great way to end the season. Even if it was a little bit more competitive, if they were able to score, maybe have it 21. What was the ending score? 31-14.
Yeah.
31-14. So if they would have scored maybe one more touchdown, that Mike Evans deep ball that was their bread and butter the game before, the last home game before, if we would have saw that, I mean, Mike Evans really, really missed that opportunity to score another touchdown during that game, because it was right in his hands. It came right off the tip of his fingers, right in the end zone. Boston won. Okay. Warriors really, really shot themselves in the foot at the end of that, end of regulation. Sorry, I'm multitasking, as you guys would say.
We're watching the same game you are, so we saw it.
Yeah. So it was it's very disappointing fashion with how the Buccaneers season ended. But I was surprised that they made such a drastic change so quick. Speaking of Todd Bowles, I mean, Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times asked him straight up, like, Todd Bowles, are we getting rid of Byron Leftwich? And he just seemed so positive in the manner of, no, we're assessing everybody player by player, coach by coach. We're not making any drastic decisions. And then boom, the very next day, the news drops. So I don't know, very confusing, but it's going to be a really interesting offseason, especially with not knowing who their quarterback is going to be next season, because Brady really doesn't have to give us an answer until mid-March. I think March 17th is when he officially hits free agency. So it could be a while before we hear any answer from Brady. And he deserves it to take his time. I'm not trying to rush him for him to be like, are you retiring or not? But it sucks for the Bucks that they're going to be in that limbo for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
I was going to say that Tampa has a lot of questions they have to answer in the offseason, and we'll see how that all shapes up in the time being in the next 3 months. Well, let's get to this Sunday's matchup. Your Cowboys taking on our 49ers from Levi Stadium. You know, it's funny because they played last year, and the Niners came up and beat them where, you know, there was some bad time management at the end of that drive that Dallas had with Dak Prescott and everything. Again, now that's in the past. Now that was last year.
It still hurts like it just happened, Marco. It still hurts. It still stings. Anybody, I've been trying to put that game so far out of my mind, but just a complete implosion by Dallas. They had the opportunity. They were at home. It was Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not taking away anything from Jimmy, but it's not like we were going up against a super elite quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. We had an opportunity defensively to really take the reins of that game, and they fumbled. They completely fumbled that game. And this is the rematch, though. So Sunday, I know they're taking a lot. There's going to be a huge chip on the shoulder about that game, of how that game ended last year.
When you looked at last year's game, the playoff game, what stood out to you?
I just didn't execute. I just didn't execute well enough, obviously, to give us an opportunity to win. Had a chance. Defense did a hell of a job. Had a chance there in the last three drives. We scored in the third to last drive, and then the last two just didn't get it done. And obviously, finishing the game, trying to clock the ball and the time running out, just didn't execute and do my job.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you look at the matchup, you know, the Niners coming in with the number one defense, you know, the number one defense is what allowed them to beat Seattle when Charles Omeniu had the strip sack on Geno Smith, was recovered by Nick Bosa. That really was the turning point of that game. It changed the whole momentum. And, you know, I think the Niners are going to try to establish that and get some turnovers in the first half to, you know, make the offense do their thing, and it led by Brock Purdy. And again, there's so many weapons: Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. It's going to be tough, I think, for Dallas's defense to be able to stop them. I mean, I know Micah Parsons is a stud defensive end, and he gets pressure and he gets sacks. But, you know, I think if the Niners, you know, double team him with somebody in the backfield, because I think, you know, obviously he's probably going to go up against Mike McGlinchey if the defensive coordinator is smart, because that's probably the one weakness on the Niners line is him. But if he gets contained, I think the Niners are going to be able to do whatever they want offensively, and that's kind of how I see this game going. Like, well, what are your thoughts so far?
Well, I mean, the 49ers have a better roster than what they had last year, but so does Dallas in some sense. So, like you said, if Micah is able to be contained from that offensive line somehow, some way, then Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel are just going to have a day. And even when their run game isn't going on fire, then they have George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk, who have been playing outstanding throughout this season as well. So Brock Purdy has definitely shown that he knows how to maneuver in that pocket. That kid can move, and he could dodge a lot of sacks. So it's going to be a tall task for that defensive line to have some type of containment. It's going to be interesting on Sunday afternoon.
I don't look at football like it's literally everything. It's do or die or anything like that. It's a game, and it's my job for sure, and I take it very seriously. But at the end of the day, I know that I'm not defined by, you know, the wins or losses as a person. Like, that's not who I am. I'm not a quarterback. I wasn't born to be a quarterback and play football, and that's it. Like, I have a life and everything like that, and I remember that. But at the same time, man, I'm a competitor. I love to compete. I want to win at all costs. And so I've been enjoying that as well. So that's where I'm at. That's how I stay grounded with it all. But definitely thankful and blessed to be here for sure.
If you had to put a score prediction on this, Ruth, and I know you're going to be picking the Cowboys, so what would you predict the score to be?
All right. As a Cowboys fan, I want to say it's going to be 27-24 Dallas. As an NFL analyst, I think it would be, let's see, a 34-32 San Francisco.
I'll say I'm going to go 31. I'd actually say 31-21 Niners is what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to go with – I'm going to agree with you on the Niners score, 34. But I think the defense will take over in the second half like they did. They have been all season long, really, especially in this last 3 months, and say 34-17 San Francisco. I just think they're going to get to Dak Prescott. They're going to get under his skin. He's going to have some turnovers, whether it's a fumble or an interception. And I think that's where the Niners are going to, you know, prove how mighty they are and go either to Philadelphia or host the New York Giants for Championship Sunday.
I think those are all good assessments. And I think the Niners have this ability to score in the 30-point range. And for me, saying they're going to give up 21 points is actually a lot on their end, because usually their defense is giving up under 20 points. So, I think if everything's clicking for the Niners as it has been, and it's going to require a lot Dallas will have to play pretty much mistake-free football to beat San Francisco. And I just don't know how well they're going to play, because this is Dallas's first road playoff win, this one. Since when? 95?
Championship game at Candlestick Park.
I was there with my dad. That was the one where it rained, I think. George Toma came out. He was the turf guru.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I saw that game. I'll never forget a real quick story. My dad and I took the bus there, and my dad was telling me, he says, you know, if the Niners lose this game, it'll be really quiet on the bus ride home. It was really quiet. It was really quiet. People napped a lot on the bus. It was pretty much of a bummer.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a season ticket holder for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he lives in Orlando, and he gets on a bus that takes all the fans from Orlando to Tampa. And he said that ride back was the quietest he's ever heard that bus after Monday night's game, just because everybody was just in shock with how bad it looked on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And there was a lot of hopes that Dak Prescott was going to have, you know, a very similar pattern of what we've seen throughout the regular season, with throwing a lot of interceptions and not taking care of the ball. And the Bucks really made him look flawless that game. So that kind of deflated all the fans. From my perspective, sitting in the stadium, there was a lot of Bucks fans that were leaving well before the third quarter was even over. So I think that speaks some volume with how they knew the trajectory of this game was going to head.
Yeah, all I know is it's going to be an electric, raucous atmosphere at Levi's Stadium this Sunday at 3:30. Cowboy fans are going to be representing.
Take it easy on us, okay? Take it easy.
where are you going to be watching the game, Ruth?
I wish I was watching the game from there. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make that trip out there as much as I want to. Hey, I might change my mind last minute. I've been known to do so. But I will probably be watching the game from the safety of my own home, on my couch with the tequila bottle and the Miami Pinot Noir ready to go, just in case my heart gets broken.
All right. Well, if you do decide,
I will have the confetti ready, and I will be FaceTiming both you gentlemen if things go great.
Well, if you change your mind, Marco's got parking. I've got parking. So you have a way to get to the game, and we're a lot cheaper than Uber and a lot better, a little more reliable.
Thanks, Ryan. I can always
tell. Well, there you have it. That's Ruth the Truth Kakias with the Moment of Truth every Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m. on 11:50 WTMP. Ruth, thanks again for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on here on the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, and good luck to your 49ers this coming weekend.
Yeah, and it should be a great game. All right, that'll do it for Ryan Leong. I'm Marky Kolovich. Thanks for listening to Bay Area Sports Wrap.
Bye.